On the Duty of Civil Disobedience by Henry David Thoreau, narrated by Alfred Costa. On the Duty of Civil Disobedience. I heartily accept the motto that government is best which governs least, and I should like to see it acted up to a more rapidly and systematically. Carried out, it finally amounts to this, which also I believe, that government is best which governs not at all. And when the men are prepared for it, that will be the kind of government which they will have. Government is at best but an expedient. But most governments are usually, and all governments are sometimes, inexpedient. The objections which have been brought against the standing army, and they are many and weighty, and deserve to prevail, may also last be brought against the standing government. The standing army is only an arm of the standing government. The government itself, which is only the mode which the people have chosen to execute their will, is equally liable to be abused and perverted before the people can act through it. Witness the present Mexican War, the work of comparatively a few individuals using the standing government as their tool, for, in its outset, the people would not have had consented to this measure. This American government, what is it but a tradition, through a recent one, endeavoring to transmit itself unpaired to prosperity, but each instant losing some of its integrity. It has not the vitality and force of a single living man, for a single man can bend it to his will. It is sort of wooden gun to the people themselves, but it is not less necessary for this, for the people must have some complicated machinery or other, and here is thin. To satisfy the idea of government which they have, government shows us thus how successful men can be imposed on, even imposed on themselves, for their own advantage. It is excellent, we must all allow. Yet this government never of itself further any enterprise, but by the alacrity with which it got out of its way, it does not keep the country free. It does not settle the West. It does not educate. The character inherent in all American people has done all that has been accomplished, and it would have done somewhat more if the government had not sometimes gotten its way. For government is an expedient by which men would feign success in letting one another alone, and, as has been said, when it is most expedient, the governed are most let alone by it. Trade and commerce, if they were not made of Indian rubber, would never manage to bounce over the obstacles which legislators are continually putting in their way. And if one were to judge these men wholly by the effects of their actions, and not partly by their intentions, they would deserve to be classed and punished with those mischievous people who put obstructions on the railroads. But to speak practically and as a citizen, unlike those who call themselves non-government men, I ask for not at once no government, but at once a better government. Let every man make known what kind of government would command his respect, and that would be one step towards obtaining it. After all, the practical reason why, when the power is once in the hands of the people, a majority are permitted, and for a long period continue, to rule is not because they are most likely to be in the right, nor because it seems fairness to the minority, but because they are physically the strongest. But a government in which the majority rules in all cases cannot be based on justice, even as far as men understand it. Can there not be a government which the majorities do not virtually decide right and wrong but conscience, in which majority decides only those questions to which the rule of the expediency is applicable? Must the citizens ever for a moment, or in the least degree, resign his conscience